We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. And, wow, the hurricane making its way across Florida and South Georgia right now. I want to ask a politically incorrect question as we're going to start off the program here. You know, they're calling every hurricane is now catastrophic. It is something that we have never seen before on the face of the earth, and yet in reality we've actually seen a lot of these hurricanes. I mean, they're big, they're bad storms. But it's not like, you know, we haven't been through this before, and I've seen all the hype and the hullabaloo. I'm wondering if the storm is actually living up to the hype and the hullabaloo in these early stages. So I'm watching all this video, and you know, they're saying, "Oh, the storm surge." Well, yeah, there's when you build a house on the beach. Guess what's going to happen when there's a hurricane? I know this is a shock to a lot of people, but you're going to have big waves. And there's a pretty good chance your house is going to get blown away. But that's ultimately the risk you take if you're going to build a house on, dare I say, sinking sand. I mean, you feel bad for people, and I certainly do. But my question is, are we watching the catastrophic damage? Because after Katrina, every single hurricane has become apocalyptic. And it looks to me like, for example, that when I get 250,000 people or whatever without power right now, okay, that's Memphis when the wind blows. So I'm just curious. I mean, I don't want to underestimate, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to quibble about it, but I'm just wondering, have you noticed in the past, decade or so, that the weather guessers, as I call them, the professional weather guessers, that they're really making all of these storms like it's some sort of a made-for-TV movie, right? Where you, it's every single night, the hype just continues to build and build and build. And, of course, now not only do the hurricanes have names, but even the winter storms have names. I mean, they're not as nearly as imposing and as scary as the hurricane names, but you have winter storm Biff. Or winter storm, I don't know, Clarence or something of that nature. It's all very strange. But it's as if they're doing these weather events, not necessarily to protect people, but to stick their reporters out there in the wind and the rain. Okay, we get it. It's windy and it's rainy. What's going on here? I remember when I was at Fox, I was in the middle of campaign season, and we had just wrapped up the Democrat, the DNC meeting in Denver, and I was off to Minneapolis, and I got sidetracked to go to New Orleans to cover a tropical storm or a hurricane. And everybody dropped what they were doing, and they were running down to New Orleans. And I'll never forget it. I was standing on Canal Street, and the wind was howling. I mean, it was, you know, 50, 60 mile an hour winds. And, you know, you're standing there as a news reporter in the middle of Canal Street, just praying you weren't going to get hit by debris. And I began rethinking my career at that moment. It's like, what is the point of all of this? I'll never forget. I put my cell phone. I had a bright yellow rain slicker, a Fox rain slicker. And I remember putting my cell phone into my coat pocket, which had about 2 inches of water in it. That was the only good thing that happened. Nobody could call me. It was very nice. All that to say, if you're in the storm's path, I hope you got out of the way. I mean, you folks in Florida have been through these, and you kind of know. But now they're trying to say, oh, this is climate change. A hurricane has never hit the Big Bend of Florida. Okay, well, you know what? Hurricanes hit Florida. What do you want me to tell you? This is nothing new. But I think the reason why they hype all of this is because they believe this fuels the whole climate change narrative and initiatives. Oh, it's raining. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, it's raining. What do you want me to do about it? They call it other people's weather, and it's a big deal. Everybody's intrigued by the hurricanes. I'm just not quite sure, is this really the apocalyptic hurricane they're telling us about? And I ask that because they're saying, well, oh, this is a Cat 4 storm, Category 4 storm. Well, it turned out to be a Category 3 storm when it finally hit. And now it's running its course. So there you go. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Ben Dieter, I have to share this story. Years ago, when I was at Fox, there was another hurricane that was going to hit somewhere on the Texas coast. And for some reason, Fox Radio decided to do wall-to-wall coverage. So they asked me to sit in the anchor chair, and the storm was going to come in like at midnight. And so I said, sure, I will do that. Came in, and I'm anchoring the hurricane coverage at midnight at Fox News Radio headquarters. We're downtown, 6th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. So anyway, the coverage was going fine. All of a sudden, the phone rings. And it turns out there was a guy on the line, and he had his wife and his kids, and they were literally in the attic of the home as it was being flooded. And so the guy was calling up, I guess the local, I don't know, Corpus Christi or Galveston radio station was actually broadcasting and our coverage. And so the guy was listening, and he called in. I was stunned. But my first question is, what are you doing in your attic? And the guy says, well, the water is rising, and we got the whole family in the attic. And I couldn't help but ask. I mean, I didn't want to lecture the guy. You know, I mean, he was, you know, on the verge of possibly drowning. But so, you're like, why didn't you leave?
Why didn't you call the authorities? I mean, Todd, you're a newscaster. I mean, you could have broadcasted his story coast to coast, but that's not going to save his family.
No, I mean, I appreciated him calling in. He was a good caller. He got right to the point. Sometimes the callers don't. They want to kind of, you know, lollygag. But this guy got right to the point. I'm trapped in my attic. And I'm like, well, okay, first of all, you've got a family. Why would you risk your family's life? Why didn't you just evacuate them? It's not like this thing just happened. This is what I don't understand with people. When the authorities actually tell you to evacuate because there's a giant wall of water coming, might be a good idea to pack a few things and head to grandma's house. Mm. I'm just saying.
Did you cover Katrina, Todd?
I did cover Katrina.
Was that wild?
It was wild. I was recovering from open heart surgery. This is kind of a funny story. I was literally recovering from the open heart surgery. I had it in May, and then the hurricane hit in August. And I was nowhere near healthy enough to do any. I'm like, send me. I'm willing to go. And my cardiologist actually called the newsroom and said, you cannot allow him to go to New Orleans. He will not survive. So anyway, but I covered it from a distance. Mm. So all that to say, you know, I mean, I felt bad for the guy, but I'm like, okay, when they tell you to leave and you don't leave and then you put your own family at risk, that's kind of on you. And I felt bad about lecturing the guy because, you know, he was in the attic, clearly making some bad life choices.
I mean, he's in the attic. You just hope everything down below. Yeah. You know that children's song, like build the house on the, what was that, the rock or the sand?
The sinking sand. Yeah, you built, it's a Bible verse, actually. Oh. But yes.
Well, that's what my point was. Hopefully it was on
the
rock.
Well, there's the three little pigs, and they had the huff and the puff, and they blew the house down. But I don't want to get into the weeds here.
Yeah.
By the way, there's another one. I can't. Somebody said they were very concerned. They sent me a document. You know, we have a very great audience here, Ben Dieter, and someone was concerned. They thought that their kid was learning some horrible stuff in the school, and it turned out it was a nursery rhyme. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what was the nursery rhyme? It was rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. So I said, actually, that one's okay. A little weird, but it's okay. You're kidding. I'm just saying. Anyway, it is what it is. All that to say, I hope you people evacuated. That's all. I hope you evacuated. And I promise to be kinder. So if you're calling the show today from an attic, I will promise to be nice to you. But why didn't you leave? 844-747-8868. This show is so off the rails, and we've just started, people. 844-747-8868. We're going to go to the phones when we come back. And I've got to tell you, we have got so much information. President Trump's coming on the show tomorrow. We've got to get ready for that. We're going to be taking your questions. What would you like us to ask President Trump when he comes on the program tomorrow? We'll be taking your calls on that as well. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, just got a message from someone. How dare you? How dare you minimize what's happening? This is the end of the world as we know it, Starnes. Well, all right. Sorry. I mean, it's always the end of the world with the weather guessers over at the Weather Channel. I'm just saying. Let's go to the phones here. Allison in Homer, Georgia. Hi, Allison. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you today?
Allison, I'm doing well. What is on your mind?
Oh, you speak the truth. I know there are hurricanes that are devastating, but I agree with you. This one, I don't even think it was a 3 when it hit. But what upsets me the most is the people who do not take the evacuation seriously, and then they want to blame everybody for not rushing to them and rescuing them. And I think, you know, if you don't leave, you need to pay the government for rescuing you, because yeah. They can't search the whole area and then just go look for the few people that stayed. But I agree, the hurricanes, they are using so many models nowadays, and they're just doing an educated guess on most of these storms.
That's all they're doing. As a matter of fact, I think the farmers, remember the old Farmer's Almanac? I think they're better at forecasting than these guys with all the computers and the degrees and the whatnot.
I agree. I totally agree. But I just had to comment on that because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, you know, they get all the people worked up, and then it wasn't as catastrophic as they said, which I'm glad. But at the same time, every storm that's coming through the United States is catastrophic now.
Every single one. It's the worst storm in the history of the world. And you're sitting, I mean, they must think we're stupid because we know we've been down this road. How many times have we been down this road? But Allison, I like your idea. What they ought to do is when they're pulling you off the roof of your house, when you were told to evacuate but you didn't, what they ought to do before they let you on is they ought to have one of those portable credit card readers. Say, that'll be $600. We're going to let the dog come for free. The dog didn't have a choice. You did.
I agree. It's like the government, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. You know, save you or don't save you. It's like, you know, if we had our crystal ball and you were going to stay in the attic, we would have came and got you first, right? No.
That's it.
These people are just a legend in their own mind. They don't realize that everybody else needs saving. And you were told to get out. And I think when a decision is made for a mandatory evacuation and you stay, then you have to deal with the consequences.
Allison, I like the way you think. Give us a call back one of these days. Could you imagine? Okay, before we rescue, let's see. There's the wife. You got three kids. We're going to let the pets on for free. We may have to charge for the cat. We take MasterCard, Visa. We'll take Amex. I love it. Oh, by the way, speaking of politicizing all of this, we've got some audio here. These morons, it took them all of 20 seconds to make this hurricane about Donald Trump. Governor DeSantis, who's doing a great job, by the way, any kind of a disaster that hits America, this is the guy. He does a good job. DeSantis was asked about Trump not commenting on the hurricane. Take a listen to Cut 11.
About Trump, you know, he's a resident here in Florida, and he hasn't commented on Idalia at all yet.
It's not my concern. My concern is protecting the people of Florida, being ready to go, and we've done that. And look, we in Florida, you just have to do this. I mean, this is something we put a lot of time and effort into throughout the course of each year, knowing that there's going to be time where you're going to have to activate it. Now, we had a major one last year. One of the most expensive on record. We were hoping not to have any this year, that maybe we would get off lucky, but that just wasn't in the cards. So you deal with it. But that's been our focus, getting all this stuff ramped up. I think the counties, by and large, I think have done a really good job with this. And there's going to be things that are going to happen over these next few days that are going to require a lot of support, and we want to be there to be able to support folks. So we'll be back with doing some.
Oh, geez, look, a little wordy there. All right. Hurricane's going to blow through before he gets finished. All right, look, I like what DeSantis said, but here's what he should have done. So as soon as the female reporterette or the lady reporter, do we call them lady reporters or reporterettes? It doesn't matter. He should have said, hold on a second. What's your name? My name is Nancy. All right, Nancy, you're an idiot. Stop asking stupid questions, Nancy. Look, his numbers would go up in the polls if he would do stuff like that. Stupid question. We're having to pull people and their cats off of rooftops, and you're asking a stupid question. By the way, here's a question they're not gonna ask. Hey, what's going on with Biden? Why did it take him a month to get over to Maui? What's going on there? How come he still hasn't been over to East Palestine, Ohio, to talk about the people who are having like deformed children now with mutant powers? Hasn't been over there yet, but you're going to go after Donald Trump. Okay, we get you. Unbelievable. You know what? Trump is staying out of the way so DeSantis can do his job in Florida. That's what's going on here. All right, let's go to Jessica, North Carolina. Hi, Jessica. What's going on?
Well, not much. Just kind of listening to you, and I was connecting some dots. Well, first of all, the dot I need connected is, did you ever call to help the family in the attic?
Who, me?
You're telling the story about the family that was trapped in the attic. Did you ever call the authorities for them so they could get saved anyway?
We told the guy to call 911. That's what we told him to do.
Good enough there.
We're in New York City. Yeah, we can't call 911 or otherwise, you know.
He was calling from far. Okay,
he was calling from Texas, yeah.
Okay, so then now we've got the coverage of storms. Now, first of all, I'll pick an earthquake over any of this stuff because earthquakes happen and there's not all this buildup in the beginning. But if you think about it and connect the dots, first it was earthquake coverage. And then what was the real kicker was when they did that whole O.J. Simpson thing for like days and weeks and months or whatever, right? So then they realized that people watch that stuff. So that's why they do it today. They overdo it, like you're saying. And I have that to say. And then the last thing was, you wanted to know a question for Donald Trump tomorrow, you said?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know what speech it was or what reason he was by the microphone at the time, but I remember him leaning in and saying suburban female and then leaning back out of the mic. And I've always wondered what he meant by suburban female.
Suburban female. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe the soccer moms? I don't know. We'll find out, Jessica.
All right. Well, for the fun that you are, you make me laugh sometimes just because I don't know if I disagree and it's absurd or if you just, I agree with some of the stuff you also say. So just have a great day in America. You know, cool your jets, man. We just need to get through this.
Jessica, this is what it's all about. You can agree, disagree, but we got to be able to laugh a little bit. We've got to. Suburban female. What is it? Was he talking about soccer moms? All right, I'm going to research this. Oh, boy. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Your phone call's coming up. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, Congressman Matt Gaetz is coming up a little bit later on in the show. Turns out NPR is supporting a Louis Farrakhan black supremacist event, and we're going to tell you more about that. Also, Sarah Bedford from the Washington Examiner is going to be here. Congressman Andrew Clyde from Georgia will be here a little later on as well. I want to go back to the phones. Again, I did not anticipate having a conversation about this, but it just bothers me that you've got the government and they're hyping all of these storms. The only reason they're hyping these storms is for the so-called global warming climate change people. Oh, the storms are getting bigger and more severe and more dangerous. Okay, well, they were telling us a 16-foot storm surge or greater, and it's nowhere near that, right? So They've got to stop it, because eventually people are going to stop paying attention to all of these warnings and the evacuation orders. All right, let's go to New Bern, North Carolina. Ron is on the line. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
Just want to make a comment about the idiot saying if they'd ask President Trump about a storm. That's about like asking a first grader about the Constitution of the United States. He hasn't lived through them. I've lived through storm. I'm 74 years old. I remember Hurricane Hazel. At that time, your meteorology service wasn't as good as it is now. Our weatherman lost it, said it's all clear. Farmers go out, they start checking stuff, the backside hits, and they get killed. We had one. I was in the National Guard for 28 years. I was called out many times for storms. I was also an MP at Fort Bragg. I was out on duty during a storm. I couldn't believe the idiots that was out there, pizza delivery people. And the one I know in particular, I'm on patrol. All of a sudden, I see a flash out of the corner of my eye. I lock my brakes. When I stop, there's a tree with a trunk at least 12 inches in diameter, less than 6 inches from my windshield of my patrol car.
Is that right? So, Ron, so let me ask you, because New Bern, you guys are pretty close to the coastline there. You've lived through these hurricanes. Are you guys, and it looks like you guys may be getting a little bit of weather from this storm.
We might later, but it's not going to be any big deal because, like I said, now this is from me. I live on high ground. I have yet to be flooded. If I buy land, if I buy any type of real estate, I want it on high ground. We have idiots from up north coming down. They want waterside property. Well, they get it, but they're going to also get the storm surge. They're going to get flooding from the rivers that come through town. We could get flooding from either coming from down upriver, or we can get storm surge if the wind gets right, coming from the ocean.
Ron,
we got to take both precautions.
You see, I love how you think here. It makes no sense to me. You know, these people literally build their homes on the beach, and they seem surprised when the storms come and their homes are washed away, much like the people in the mountains, these wealthy people. They go up and they literally build their house on the side of a mountain. And when the rainy season comes and the landslides happen, all of a sudden, you know, they're looking for a handout from the government to rebuild their house that slid down the mountain. Here's a thought. Don't build a house on a mountainside and don't build one at the beach.
Well,
just
the biggest idiots, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest idiots are the ones who build on the Outer Banks.
I don't get it.
And I can't understand why they even permit people to build out there. Sooner or later, a hurricane's going to come through and take it out. We've had islands out there. I mean, some of the islands out there used to be one island, now it's two. Oregon Inlet, for example, which is got a three-mile bridge across it. Storm of 1898 created Oregon Inlet. It got its name because the USS Oregon went through the inlet. Now, before, it was one solid land. Anywhere on the Outer Banks, waiting for your storm, it's going to take it out. That's my theory.
There you go. Ron,
why they permit people and give them insurance.
That's the problem right there, is that people will get insurance, and ultimately the taxpayers have to foot the bill for all of this stuff. And that's what gets me, is we've got to start being smart people. We got to be smart. Ron, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. Let's go to William in Statesville, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for a little bit of airtime with you today. You can't fix stupid. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you can. It's called duct tape. Get some of that NASCAR 200-mile-an-hour duct tape. At least muffle the sound.
You know, William, I have to tell you, when Hurricane Sandy hit New York City, I think I was the only person in Brooklyn prepared. And I went to the store. I got a six-pack of Abita Springs root beer. I got a pork butt to smoke. And I got a big old thing of duct tape. And I was living high on the hog, as they say.
No, really, the same people, probably some of the same people that are dramatizing this weather event are the same ones that are telling us that we need to go get shots again and mask up.
That's it. That you're absolutely right. I wanted to start off talking about the poor sorority girls over at the University of Wyoming, but this just has been bothering me since last night. And then this morning, you see the people out there and again, being deceptive. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, this water is so deep. And all you have to do is look at the background and you can still see the car tires that are high and dry. You know, it's like, come on, give me a break here. So they're doing it all for ratings.
Not to make light of these storms, Todd, because every one of them are different. I went 2 days after Hurricane Andrew hit to help my grandfather back in those days, and that storm was devastation for sure. It just wiped out South Florida. And it was just one of them deals where you just had to, you know, by the grace of God, it was just not the only thing you could do.
Absolutely. You know? And the problem here, William, is one day there is going to be a massive storm and people aren't going to evacuate because of all the hype of the previous storms. And that's why they've got to be careful. Weather Channel is not doing a great service to the nation with all of this stuff.
No, they're not. But anyway, you take care, Todd. Appreciate all what you do.
William, appreciate that call. Good hearing from you. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the old geezer, OG, listening to us in North Carolina. A lot of North Carolina callers this week. Great to hear from you folks. All right, OG, what's going on?
Okay, the word, sir, is go bag. Got me? You hear me?
Go bag. Yes, sir.
Every family member above 3 years of old should have a go bag backpack. Make sure that they have ID, 1 gallon of water, a water filter straw, food for 3 days, a solar power charger, and an emergency radio. And when they say evacuate, don't play around. There's nothing in your house worth dying for. And if you have smarts, you have some insurance that can tend to replace it.
And you know what?
That's why they call this. That's why they call this area the graveyard of the Atlantic, because too many stupid people aren't paying attention.
Let me say something. Every person listening follows that advice. They're going to be old geezers one day, because they're going to be able to live a very long and healthy life.
That's right. We're stalking number 86, and we're working for number 106.
Wow. I love it. Well, let me tell you something. In my car right now, I have a go bag, and you just have to be prepared. You never know what's coming down the pike, and I'm with you, OG. We cannot rely on the government for anything. We've got to take personal responsibility for ourselves and our families. All right. Appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Ed in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Ed. What's going on?
I can't believe I got through. Wow. Todd, it is so nice to talk to you. I listen to your show almost every day if I'm on the road.
Well, thank you, Ed.
It just dawned on me yesterday or the day before the reason why they want our lovely government wants us all to mask up again and start taking this COVID real serious, like, you know, it's the end of the world, as you say. And it just dawned on me, the reason they want to do it right now is because our kids are just getting back to school and they want to stop the socialization of our children in our schools. I think that's why they're doing it.
Ed, what do you think the end game for all of that is?
A control and keep us home. And, you know, if they can keep us in our houses and keep us out from communicating with each other, I think they can, you know, start doing what they really want to do. They really want to. This liberal government is so evil. I mean, and you know, it's been prophesized about. It's been preached about for many, many years. But I think a lot of conservatives have kind of fallen asleep and afraid to do something about it, to take a stand, to even talk to your neighbors and say, we've got to do something about this. We've got to pray, and we've got to take a stand for what's going on in our country. We're going to lose it.
Ed, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying there. And when you look at the condition of the country, and yeah, we've got a lot of crime. We have a lot of devastation out there in the nation. And some of our major cities sort of look like, Hunger Games. It's almost like a dystopian society. And it was, I think a lot of people were very surprised at how quickly society can become unraveled. And that's really what we saw during the shutdowns, when they closed the schools and they forced the kids out of the classroom and back into the homes, when in fact, and a lot of people forget about all of this, the children were the least susceptible to the China virus. So there was really no reason for them not to be in school. As a matter of fact, sometimes that's the best place for them to be in one of these pandemic situations. But again, I think there's something to what you're saying, that a lot of this was meant to destabilize our society. And I hate to say it, but it worked. So I don't think any of us are willing to go back to what they did to us before. Now that we know the plan, now that we know what they did, and we know what's coming, and they're saying it could be late September, October, when these mandates are coming down and when the mask mandates are coming down. Keep in mind, a lot of states already have legislation passed that are going to stop a lot of these federal rules and regulations. So that's good news. But I'm telling you, we cannot go back. We just cannot go back to those days. Ed, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Give us a holler back one of these days. I've got to talk about this story. The University of Wyoming. Ben Dieter, I know you were a college grad from several years back. Did you do the fraternity scene? Were you a frat boy?
No, I wanted to be, but I walked up to a couple kids. I went to a Christian private school, Cedarville University near Dayton, Ohio, and I see these guys wearing these Greek letters on these maroon sweaters. I go up and say, oh my gosh, is this a fraternity? I want to join. They said, yeah, we're kind of, but instead of like partying, we're into praying.
Oh, okay.
I, I was speechless, and I never joined the fraternity.
Well, you don't like praying?
You don't mix. It's all right. It wasn't a fraternity. I'm sorry. Okay. They weren't doing the beer pong.
No. Well, no, it's a Baptist school. They're not going to do beer pong.
That's correct.
They'll do ping pong, but not beer pong. They'll do root beer pong.
Mm-hmm.
There's something. You got to try the Abita Springs root beer. It's delicious.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, thank you for that diversion, Mr. Dieter. University of Wyoming, big problem with the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls. So it turns out that one of the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls is a guy by the name of Artemis Langford. He's a big old fella, a biggin, 21 years old, and was allowed to move into the sorority house. And he's a dude who thinks he's a girl. So there was a big controversy, and the girls, the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls, said, yeah, we're not doing this. We just feel weird. They say that Mr. Langford had been voyeuristically peeping on them while they were in intimate situations. I don't know what that's all about. And on at least one occasion had a visible, can't say that word on the radio. That's according to Fox News. So they went to court and they filed a lawsuit, the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls. And the judge came out with a ruling, and he ruled against the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls and in favor of the Kappa Kappa Gamma guy. The judge said the University of Wyoming chapter voted to admit, and more broadly, a sorority of hundreds of thousands approved Langford. With its inquiry beginning and ending there, the court will not define woman today. And therefore, the Kappa Kappa Gamma guy gets to hang out in the Kappa Kappa Gamma house with the Kappa Kappa Gamma girls. Now, I want to address the judge for just a moment. Judge, you don't have to define woman. That's already been done. God did that. You don't have to do that. And the idea that these biological women, young women, have to live in fear in their own sorority house is unacceptable. But this, again, goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, the level of attacks on biological women. These radical sex and gender revolutionaries, they have one goal. It is to eradicate the family. You got to look. You've got to just play it all out here. Why are they going after the pronouns? Why are they going after the gender? They're going after that to break down traditional family norms. That's what this is really all about. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, a lot of people now standing up for that 12-year-old boy we told you about yesterday, little Jaden, a student at Vanguard School in Colorado Springs. He got in trouble because he had a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack. And this little kid, he loves to read the Tuttle Twins book series. And so on occasion, he'll wear a tri-corner hat to school, the one, you know, George Washington, the Minutemen used to wear. So this is a little red, white, and blue patriot, this kid. And we're just so excited that he is taking a stand there at his school. And his parents are standing alongside of him We now understand the governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, who is a Democrat, says there's no way that this kid should have gotten in trouble for that little flag patch, and said that, look, the Gadsden flag is a symbol of the American Revolution, and it's a warning not to violate the liberties of Americans. And he's absolutely right there. And the school is saying, well, he also had some other patches that promoted guns. Okay, well, there's something called the Second Amendment, you morons. What's wrong with you? So the school, and the school's trying to make, they go, well, there's more to it. No, there's not. And we know there's not more to it because the mom very wisely recorded, secretly recorded the meeting with the teacher. So we know what this is really all about, and shame on that school. So I hope you give Vanguard School in Colorado Springs a call and let them know that you stand with Jaden and tell them to stop picking on a 12-year-old boy. Don't tread on us, Vanguard School. Don't tread on us. All right, hang tight. Hour two coming up right next.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of The Big Show. Hope you're doing great today, wherever you might be across America. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 844-747-8868. Now, tomorrow, President Trump will be back on the show, and we're taking your questions. What would you like to ask the former president? Just give us a call, and we're going to be taking those questions throughout the hour. Again, 844-747-8868. Of course, following the hurricane as it makes its way across Florida, want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, great American patriot, and an excellent Newsmax host, if I can say so, Congressman Matt Gaetz out of the 1st Congressional District in Florida. Hey, Congressman, how's it going?
Well, we're high and dry in Florida's 1st District, Todd, but our hearts go out to my fellow Floridians who are having to access a snorkel to go out in their front yard today. A lot of debris down, big storm surge throughout the Big Bend area of the state, and we're certainly thinking about those first responders who are out there doing search and rescue right now.
Yeah, a lot of first responders from all over the southern states heading down to lend a helping hand, and you know, it looks like, you know, the state is doing well as far as the response early on to this. And what's even more bizarre, it's very rare that Valdosta, Georgia is under a hurricane warning. So this is very unusual.
Right. Well, actually, yeah, it looks like this storm is actually going to whip back out over the Atlantic and may cause some problems for some islands out there. But certainly an odd path. But we are good at this in Florida, from our governor to our emergency management folks to our local officials who really do a lot of the heavy lifting. We're used to this. We're capable. And we're certainly grateful for all the assistance that we're getting from everyone else.
No doubt about that. And I do want to say, great job. You know, we get a lot of comments, so people see you on Newsmax, and it looks like you're having a lot of fun doing a great job out there.
Well, you know, it's really important these days to have direct lines of communication with the American people, because so much of the corporate media tries to filter what's actually happening. And right now, we're in a dark time in our country. I don't want to in any way put rose-colored glasses on the circumstances we face, with a Department of Justice that's been weaponized, an economy that is not fit for the people that are eager to get jobs and make contributions, and really a presidency that has become so compromised and so, I think, disoriented that really America is in decline with the president, and that's something we absolutely need to reverse.
I'm glad to have you on to talk about the story we're about to talk about. After Fox ended my contract, I moved back to Memphis, bought a news talk radio station, and we're a for-profit station. And one of the things that angers me is knowing my tax dollars are funding the NPR station in Memphis across town. And you've got a story that is just mind-blowing about the NPR affiliate at Morgan State University. And I want you to tell our listeners what they're up to.
Well, your taxpayer dollars are going to fund a radio station that puts out Louis Farrakhan speeches, some of the most racist, anti-Semitic, bigoted commentary you could possibly imagine in the United States, is literally being platformed and paid for through the NPR network. So I've written a letter to the CEO of NPR asking how many stations are being supported that play weekly Louis Farrakhan speeches. Remember, Todd, you know, this is someone who really was the first critical race theorist, because of, instead of believing like Dr. King did that we ought to be colorblind and we ought to look at what's on the inside of a person, not just their skin color, you know, Louis Farrakhan has been a critic of that, of the civil rights movement, and instead is a black ethno-nationalist. He believes that in black supremacy, he believes white people should be subjugated, and he believes that really the only thing we ought to evaluate in taking a measure of someone is their skin color. That's something that the American taxpayer should not be funding. I can't even believe we are, to the tune of about $250,000 in this one particular program, but we fear it may be even more widespread than that.
It's just appalling, and of course we've got to give a shout out to the Daily Caller that broke this story and published the letter that you sent. Have you heard anything back yet? Have you heard an explanation?
You know, I haven't, and it's an unfortunate feature over there at NPR that they think that they have this creative license to put out whatever they'd like. And the reality is government funding is running out at the end of September. And when we return to Washington, we have to stop the spending on some of this outrageous stuff. Stuff that is wasteful, stuff that is harmful. And whenever the Democrats wring their hands about, oh, well, goodness, where could we possibly reduce our spending? How about just ending NPR? The American taxpayer should not be in the business of creating radio content. That's what the private sector is for. That's what free enterprise is for. And while, you know, certainly we can make emergency alerts available on the full spectrum of FM or AM radio, there's absolutely no need to put our thumb on the scale, and particularly when NPR is pushing hate. I mean, Louis Farrakhan is not a studied, you know, fountain of wisdom. He spews hate. He advocates for harm to people based on their skin color and their ethnicity and at times their faith. What he says about Jews is just stomach turning. And I would hope that there would be bipartisan support from people who, you know, seem to take every opportunity to, you know, point out when they think that there's white supremacy that's troubling. And of course, white supremacy is troubling, and we reject it categorically. But when there's black supremacy or other iterations of hate, they don't seem to be as eager to point out that racism.
Oh, it's a fair point. And I mean, again, all you have to do is listen for about 2 minutes if you can stay awake, and you realize, you know, where NPR is coming from. And you know what? That's great. Just don't do it on my tax dime. That's all I'm asking.
Sure. We're not saying that this speech should be disallowed. Matter of fact, offensive speech is protected by the First Amendment. The left used to understand that and believe that. But just because speech is protected doesn't mean that truck drivers and air conditioning repairmen and people in the commercial fishing industry in my district in Florida should have to work extra hours to shell out more money so that Louis Farrakhan gets platformed in more American radio stations. That's just, I think, counter to our values, and it really opens up this broader question about, will Republicans fight? And as I have traveled the country and spoken to so many Americans, they're disillusioned with House Republicans right now. They think that we have not put up a substantial battle to defeat the worst elements of this Biden administration. I worked very hard in January to develop a toolkit for us to be able to reorient the House of Representatives in a productive and positive way. I don't believe we've used those tools as effectively as we should have. And when we get back to Washington in the coming weeks, we have got to seize the initiative. That means forcing votes on impeachment. And if Kevin McCarthy stands in our way, he may not have the job long. So let's hope that he works with us, not against us. But we've got contingency plans in the event that that he's not as productive.
Matt, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because it just frustrates me. And we give platform to a lot of folks out there, House Freedom Caucus guys, everybody. But we hear McCarthy out there saying, well, he hasn't done anything yet. Biden hasn't done anything yet to reach the level of impeachment, or we're working on it. You know, enough of that. You guys clearly have enough evidence. We've all seen it. We've heard it. It's time to do something about it. And I think the voters are really getting frustrated.
No, you're so right about it. We talk about it frequently. And if tens of millions of dollars going to members of the Biden family from foreigners trying to influence our government wasn't enough to impeach Joe Biden, why were we even looking for it?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have one smoking gun. We have tens of millions of smoking guns. And this argument that some of my Democrat colleagues make, oh, well, that was just Biden family members. That wasn't Joe. Well, how do you think you bribe somebody that's in their 70s? You give money to their family and their kids. Like, that is the feature of bribery that frequently occurs with people that age. And it certainly did with Joe Biden, and he deserves impeachment as a consequence. And frankly, if we don't deliver that result, if we don't at least have the vote, then I think that our voters will look at us as deeply unserious and deservedly.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, we know you've got a lot going on today, and we really appreciate the great work you're doing, and we'll be watching.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Congressman Matt Gaetz, everybody, from Florida. And I appreciate him speaking the truth here, because I hear it from you. We get the emails, the messages. Folks are ready. They are ready to go after Joe Biden and the Biden family crime syndicate. I mean, it really is that simple. So good for Congressman Gaetz and the other members of the House Freedom Caucus who are taking a stand. And you heard him there with a not-so-veiled threat directed at Kevin McCarthy. If he does not go down this path, he may not have a job. And maybe we need to be talking about that today, whether or not Kevin McCarthy deserves to be Speaker. At what point do you say, what is the point of having a majority if you're not going to do anything with it? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. President Trump on the show tomorrow. Do you have a question that you would like to ask the former president? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. This month, we're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed when the values we hold dear are under attack from within. It's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, and help us fight to literally save lives. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
May I just say, we have the best listeners in all of talk radio. We do. Greg said, for those in Florida that may have been flooded due to the hurricane, don't forget that President Biden can relate because his toilet overflowed in 1992. So that's very clever, Greg. Thank you. Greg Hebert, one of our top fans on the Facebook page. Wow, this day. It's a weird show, folks. I'm warning you, it is a weird show today. All right, let's go to the phones. Jackson, Tennessee. Lucy How are you today, Lucy?
Hey, Todd. I'm doing very well, thank you. And I love your program. Matt Gaetz is one of my favorite congressmen. And I totally agreed with what he said about NPR. It's just ridiculous, ridiculous paying our taxes for something like that. And for so many things, we throw our money away. And I wanted to tell you, I'm standing with...
Did we lose Lucy? Lucy, are you there? I think we lost Lucy. All right, but Lucy, well, we appreciate you calling in. You give us a call back one of these days, but I'm with you. I like Matt Gaetz. By the way, the guy's got good hair, right? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like superstar TV news anchor quality hair. You got to appreciate that. Let's go to Carol in Salem, Oregon, KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Carol, what's on your mind?
Well, you wanted us to call in regarding a question for the president.
Yes, ma'am. I have my pen in hand, and I am ready to take down what you're going to ask.
Okay. Well, I wonder what he thinks about Carrie Lake as a running mate. I just think she's charismatic and very intelligent. Can you imagine her being pitted against our current vice president?
Oh, my. Yeah, Cackle and Kamala. Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, but anyway, I totally concur about Matt Gaetz. He's one sharp individual, besides being quite good-looking, you know, but he has a good presence, I think. So, yeah.
All right, Carol, we've got you down. We're going to ask about Carrie Lake as a possible VP.
Okay, thanks.
Carol, all right, thank you for listening, and thanks for hanging out with us today. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. May I tell you, I've got to tell you this great story that came from us locally. This is from DeSoto County, Mississippi. And this is just, first of all, an unbelievable story because it happened in a place like the top of Mississippi because these are good church-going people. And you would be shocked to know what was happening in the school system there. My apologies. I'm trying to call this up on my computer, and I'm having a little bit of a hiccup here, but bear with me for a moment. So anyway, we ended up interviewing a lady today. Her name is Tambry Wells. And Miss Wells found something very disturbing yesterday when her daughter came home from a school. So her daughter goes to a school in Lake Corbrant, and her daughter brought over the assignment, eighth grader, all right? The eighth grader, and said, Mom, you're not going to believe this assignment that we had to do, and it was a take-home assignment. So Mrs. Wells, being a good mom, took a look at it. The daughter was very concerned, an eighth grader, and she said, holy cow, you are just not going to believe this. And she actually posted some of it on social media. This was one of the lines. Naked woman plus right hand equals happy, happy, joy, joy. This is for eighth graders. Yep, that's right. I admit that I masturbate. I'm proud of it. I'm good at it. I'm ambidextrous. If there was a professional masturbators league, I'd get drafted number one, make millions. This goes on and on and on and on. This is for eighth grade. This was a take-home reading assignment that the children had to do. So Mrs. Wells said, we're not doing that. She contacted the school, and here's where it gets interesting. The school said they had no idea the teacher had done this. And the school immediately took action. I know, right? It's shocking. The school took action. Principal Steiner, we got to give this lady credit. Because she said, this is unacceptable, it's inexcusable, and we're going to make this right. So apparently the teacher has been given the heave-ho. They fired the teacher. And they've apologized. But my question is, how many other classes are there that were sending this book home with kids? I mean, if this is happening in North Mississippi, which is, I mean, you know, this is like if there wasn't a Holy Land, it would be North Mississippi. I mean, everybody's religious there. Everybody goes to church in North Mississippi. But this is a story that has a great lesson for all of us. Because first of all, Mrs. Tambry taught her daughter, if you see something, you say something to me. And the little girl, eighth grade girl, this brave girl said, Mom, this is what we have to read tonight. And the mom said, oh. So the little girl did the right thing. Mrs. Wells did the right thing. The school did the right thing. And the teacher got the heave-ho. And this is a lesson here. And the lesson is, be diligent. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and make a call and say something. And once you say something, you can facilitate change. And that's what happened at the school in Lake Cormorant in Mississippi. So I just, good for you, Mrs. Wells. By the way, she raises labradoodles. That's a dog, by the way. I didn't know that. Her business is Tambry's, T-A-M-B-R-E-S, Tambry's Fancy Doodles. So I don't know if you're looking for a dog and you want a fancy doodle, you got to give Tambry a holler here. It's a great business. Tambry's Homegrown Doodles. Tambry's Homegrown Doodles.com. Hey, hang tight. We're going to the phones. Don't go anywhere. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. By the way, folks, if you haven't already done so, head over to our website and check out our store. You can get all of my books. By the way, brand new book coming out in March. Very excited about that. We'll be telling you more about that later on this year. But you can get all, I think, 7 or 8 of my books there. Also, ball caps, coffee mugs, you name it. You can find it over at toddstearns.com. All right, we were able to fix the connection with Lucy in Jackson, Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate there. Hi, Lucy. All right, finish your thought. Sorry about that.
Hey, Todd, again. When Colin took my call, he said, we're just a little bit down the road from y'all. And it made me think, before I tell you something else, you're going to be on Frankie Lacks today, this afternoon. Right.
Well, that's one of our local affiliates. So I think the rest of the yes, absolutely. Yes.
And okay. I wanted to make a suggestion. He's just right down the road, and often you are out, going to do on Newsmax or. And I was thinking maybe you could ask him. Since he's right here.
You're his agent.
No, I'm not his agent. I'm not his agent.
You should be his agent.
When Colin said y'all were just right down the road, I thought, wow, you need to ask Frankie to be on.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Do we have Susie back or Lucy back? She was going to make one more point.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead, Lucy.
What you told about Miss Wells in Mississippi, I support her. But Todd, think of all the other children in these public schools who are hearing trash every day, 5 days a week. This is disgusting. We need to get these children out of these public schools.
And get them into homeschools, Lucy, or private schools. But you're right. I mean, what about the moms who are not diligent, who maybe, moms and dads may not, be able to read all the assignments?
Yes.
You're right.
And that's trash. I wouldn't want to read that.
No, not at all. We could not read. I mean, it was horrible what we shared, but it gets even worse. And that's just unacceptable.
Unacceptable. This is the United States of America based on Judeo-Christian ethics.
That's it. Lucy, good hearing from you, and we're so glad you're listening to WTJS and Frankie Lex. He is the voice of West Tennessee. So good guy. Thank you for calling in. All right. It is a busy day here. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have Sarah Bedford with us. Sarah is a journalist with the Washington Examiner, also a fellow, a Blankley fellow at the Steamboat Institute. And Sarah has been really at the forefront of uncovering the Biden crime family syndicate. Sarah, hope you're doing well today.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, sure. And, of course, the latest information, Sarah, involves the National Archives, where we now learned that what more than 5,000 emails included Biden's secret IDs and email addresses.
That's right. I mean, this is something that the House Oversight Committee has been looking for ever since they sort of put two and two together about some of the pseudonyms that were found in a handful of emails on Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop, right? I mean, just think of how much we wouldn't know if we didn't have the records that were on that laptop. So they asked the National Archives, you know, first off, how many of these records do you have that includes Joe Biden's pseudonyms, and can we see them? First part of that request has been fulfilled this week. The National Archives is sort of saying in a separate legislation and FOIA legislation filed by a different group, but it's information that the House Oversight Committee is using, that more than 5,000 emails included these pseudonyms that Joe Biden was using to communicate with his family and who knows with who else. With who else is going to be the key from the House Oversight Committee's perspective. They want to know if Joe Biden was communicating with Hunter Biden's business partners.
Now, Biden has said, you know, he has never done that. He's never had any kind of connections. Look, it's perfectly legal to lie to the media. You're allowed to do that. There's no penalty. But you cannot lie under oath. And I'm very curious to see, you know, if we're going to be able to get any kind of testimony from the president under oath.
That's not really where congressional Republicans are right now. They're sort of starting from the outside and working their way in. That's been the approach of some of these committees. The House Oversight Committee, for example, subpoenaed banks for the bank transactions involving shell companies that were run by associates of Hunter Biden, like Devin Archer, like Rob Walker, but not for the Biden family members themselves yet, which I think is really interesting because they're sort of methodically building this case before they, you know, they're going to have one shot at questioning Joe Biden. If they get one at all, they would have one shot at examining these transactions that involve a Hunter Biden himself or James Biden, the president's brother. So they're not taking that shot yet. They're compiling a body of evidence. And, you know, even just from subpoenas that involve some of Hunter Biden's former business partners and not Hunter himself, they've been able to learn a lot about the way all of this money, this foreign money, flowed to the accounts that the Bidens controlled.
Sarah, I'm curious about the numbers here, and that's what gets me. It tells me this was not some sort of a random occurrence, but this was sort of a standard operating procedure with Biden, and I suspect others within the administration back in the Obama years did the exact same thing. But what does that tell you, the numbers of emails we're looking at here?
Well, we don't really know yet, right? I mean, it's not unheard of for prominent figures to use pseudonyms in their communication. So that in and of itself is, I don't think, necessarily suspicious. But from what we know about the emails that ended up on Hunter Biden's laptop, the pseudonyms were really only used on a handful of occasions when Hunter Biden was being looped into his father's private schedule on days that his father was either meeting with or getting ready to meet with Ukrainian officials at the time that Hunter Biden was working with Burisma, that Ukrainian energy company. So that raises some questions. You know, why would Hunter Biden need to know his father's schedule only on days that overlapped with the work that he was doing with Burisma? So there's reasons I think that the House Oversight Committee has to suspect that these emails will be relevant. James Comer has been out there, interestingly, saying that they're going to fight redactions on these emails from the National Archives. They're going to fight the archives not to redact recipients or senders of emails, because he said one of the main things we're interested in is not even necessarily the content of these emails, although that will be very interesting, but who was he corresponding with? Was it Hunter Biden's business partners or the foreign figures that he was taking money from? So they're really going to fight those redactions on who was being included in these conversations.
All right. Well, we're going to be following your work over at the Washington Examiner. Good job uncovering these 5,000 emails. And we look forward to the next bombshell coming.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Sarah Bedford, the investigative reporter for the Washington Examiner. Huh. All right. There you go. All right. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Alex in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Alex. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's brought it up. I was just wondering what you think about Candace Owens being the vice president.
Of what?
The United States.
Oh, Donald Vice Trump. President of the United States. Yeah, probably not. Why? What qualifications does she have to be vice president?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Just everything she says that I hear her say, I hadn't heard her say a whole lot, but she just, everything she says, I like. I like what she says. She just makes a lot more sense than that knucklehead we got in there now.
Well, you know what?
I mean, a 5-gallon bucket with a wig on it from Home Depot makes more sense than she does.
Most third graders do. Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look, I mean, I like Candace Owens. There are a lot of things I disagree with her on. And I know she's fairly new to the conservative movement. And I appreciate, you know, she's had a pretty meteoric rise in the conservative movement. I'm not sure that qualifies her to be vice president of the United States, because, again, the whole reason we have a vice president is in case the president keels over. So you want to make sure you have somebody who can actually govern and lead the country. So people may disagree with me, but that's where I stand on that. Alex, appreciate that call. Let's go to Alan in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Alan. What you got for us?
Hey, I've got two questions. One for you to ask the President Trump tomorrow, and the other is for you, Todd. The first one, though, for President Trump, with Asa Hutchinson and some of the other candidates and some of these states talking about taking him off the ballot, if he were to say, I will participate in one of the upcoming debates, would that shut them up? I'd like his opinion on that, if he thinks he could stop that kind of talk by showing up. And the other question is for you. Would you go back over the leftist media that keeps saying things like we have too many elections in America? Because I think people need to hear that.
Yeah, well, who's saying we have too many elections in America?
I think there was an article thought maybe you had covered it, I think, in the New York Times, that quoted some people saying that elections were, you know, something that we probably shouldn't have so many of. We know they want to do away with the Electoral College, but I think there's some press out there that I have heard, and I thought possibly you had mentioned it. But,
Alan, let me go back. I'll go back and research that, and it may have been something we've covered in years past, but you've got a much sharper mind than I do on that today. But we'll go back, and we'll take a look at that.
Thank you, Todd. And MSNBC is touting the fact that if Donald Trump's reelected, he'll do away with elections in the future. And I think we need to kibosh that by, you know, anything they say, they're usually doing it already themselves.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Alan, we got to run. Appreciate that call. By the way, when we come back, we've got some new video. Mitch McConnell back in the district, and he froze again. It is bizarre. We're posting this up on the website for you to see, but it's not looking good for Mitch McConnell. I mean, this is really tragic. So we're going to get to that coming up after the break. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. We've got this audio. And we've got the video up on our Facebook page if you want to watch it. This is Senator Mitch McConnell. This is the leader of the Senate Republicans. And he is in probably worse physical shape than Joe Biden, the president of the United States. Remember a couple of weeks ago, he froze up there on Capitol Hill and poor Joni Ernst had to take charge of the situation. Well, it just happened again. It happened in his home district as he was being asked a question about reelection. We're going to play this out, and you're going to hear the silence when he just, it's like he broke. Let's take a listen.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's right.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
Oh, he heard the question.
All right, hello? I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator.
somebody else have a question, please speak up.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, are we okay with our leaders being like that? This man does not belong in the Senate. He belongs in a nursing home. No wonder the Republican Party is in such disarray when the leadership belongs in a nursing home. I mean, this is no attack on Mitch McConnell. The man cannot help himself, but he is the leader of the Senate Republicans. And he keeps having these very strange, these very bizarre brain freezes. I mean, you heard it. Does that man sound like he should be on Capitol Hill right now? And by the way, all these Republicans that are out there saying that Joe Biden should be in a nursing home, they've got no room to talk unless they're calling out Mitch McConnell as well. And there's a lot more of them. Dianne Feinstein, there are probably more Democrats, but it's like it's the old folks home. It's not Congress anymore. It's the old folks home. You've got more nursemaids up on Capitol Hill than you've got personal aides. Folks, I don't know what to say, but that is very bizarre. Very bizarre. All right, I want to play this audio from our good buddy Greg Kelly over at Newsmax. He dropped a bombshell on last night's show. Take a listen to Cut 14.
But he hasn't seen the half of it yet. There is an audio tape, I am told, by people in the know, not necessarily in government, not necessarily out of government. I can't say too much. But there is incontrovertible evidence of Joe Biden's corruption that is about to be made public. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen before Labor Day, but it will happen sometime between Labor Day and Halloween. This tape will be made public. I'm not sure by what entity at this point, but once it is heard, Joe Biden will have, well, he'll have only two options. Number one, he will not be able to remain a candidate for the presidency for reelection. It will be over and done with. The only thing that he might be able to do, potentially, but probably not, is remain as president. I am told this tape is that incriminating, and they're worried about it right now at the White House. They know about it. They know it's out there. There may be more than one, and it makes a lot of sense.
All right. What in the world is it? So I'm not sure who Greg Kelly's talking to. I will speculate that it may have something to do with all of these emails out there. And if we're talking about corruption, well, that's where the evidence is at, with all of the fake email names. So maybe that's where Kelly is going with all of this. But he says it's going to come out before Halloween. You know, if that happens, you're going to have Gavin Newsom jumping into the race. I just don't think Newsom's going to be the guy. I do not. Now, someone pointed out yesterday a very compelling ticket for the Democrats would be a Buttigieg, Michelle Obama ticket, or Obama Buttigieg. I don't know who's going to be on top on that relationship, but it may not be Buttigieg. I don't know. But anyway, is Buttigieg going to be on top or Michelle Obama? We'll find out possibly by October when all of this is supposed to go down, according to Greg Kelly. By the way, you know the new Chick-fil-A sandwich, the one with the pimento cheese and the jalapenos? Wow, just had one. The staff brought one over, got me to lunch, and I had the brand new Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's got the pimento cheese, and it's got some. Is that the Chick-fil-A sauce? I think it's got the Chick-fil-A sauce and then the jalapenos. I don't know why I say it like that, Dylan. I think that I'm trying to be ethnically accurate. That's why. But it's a very good sandwich. Wow, normally I'm a plain Chick-fil-A sandwich kind of a guy. I don't even like the pickles. But man, this had the pickle on it, had the jalapenos, and it had the pimento cheese. It was, wow, ay caramba. Is that right? I'm not bilingual, so I don't know. It was pretty darn good. We'll be right back. Hour 3 coming up, everybody. Try one of those sandwiches.
Yeah.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. A lot going on this hour. Also, following the big hurricane, a lot of flooding in Florida. But if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, if you're in the path of the hurricane, you probably have more important things to do right now. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be taking your calls today, this hour of the program. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Andrew Clyde. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's always great to be with you.
You know, Congressman, we've been following a lot of the polling data out there. I think it's fascinating that Georgia Republicans have not been deterred at all by the indictment of President Trump and the way he was treated down at the Fulton County Jail. As a matter of fact, his support is stronger than ever.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this state is a Trump state. He won it by massive numbers. You know, my district, Georgia's 9th District, is the most pro-Trump district in the entire state as well. You know, this president has been incredibly persecuted by the sitting administration, having weaponized their Department of Justice into literally the election interference arm of the Democrat Party. And, you know, we're going to stop this.
Congressman, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt there in Georgia. We've talked to a lawmaker in the Senate there in Georgia who they want to defund the district attorney. They want investigations. Yeah. Do you support those efforts?
Well, I certainly support the efforts to defund it, and you know, I don't have any authority at the state level, but I certainly do at the federal level, and that's what we're doing at the federal level. I'm introducing amendments to defund the prosecution of any presidential candidate prior to the 2024 elections, and I think that's going to be our best pathway right now.
The other big concern, there are some states where the attorney generals or secretary of states are looking at having Trump actually removed from the ballot. You know, Congressman, this is far from over. And I hope the Democrats understand they are taking this nation down a very dangerous path.
Oh, they most definitely are. But every state gets federal funding. Okay, and and the amendments that I will be introducing in the Appropriations Committee, and I'm on the Appropriations Committee, I'm on the Commerce Justice Science Subcommittee that deals directly with funding of the Department of Justice. But these amendments will defund the prosecution, and that goes down to the state and local level too, where the Second Amendment actually says if they go down that path of trying to prosecute a presidential candidate prior to the 2024 election, then they will lose all federal funding. So they're going to have to make a choice. Do they want federal funding or do they want to go down this nefarious path, like you said, very dangerous path of trying to put a political opponent in jail?
Congressman, we had Matt Gaetz on earlier in the program, and he is he's pretty steadfast in making sure that Joe Biden is impeached. And he said that if Kevin McCarthy does not get on board, he may not have a job as Speaker of the House. I'm curious to get your take on that.
Well, I certainly support the impeachment inquiry of President Joe Biden because we have never seen a more corrupt president in the history of the United States, in my opinion. I mean, all you have to do is look at the evidence, the FD 1023 form from the FBI, from that human source interview is clearly shows very clearly the corruption, you know, the bribery that went on with the Ukrainian gas company, $10 million, $5 million for Hunter, $5 million for President Biden, in order that he would get the Ukrainian government to fire the prosecutor that was prosecuting the Ukrainian gas company. I mean, just that one alone should be enough. But I'm all for an impeachment inquiry and do it expeditiously as well.
All right, Congressman Andrew Clyde from Georgia on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Back to your legislation and this push to block funding for Trump prosecutions. How many are you able to judge how many of your fellow lawmakers are on board with this?
Well, all of those that I have spoken with so far have been either favorable or reserving judgment as of right now, but most have been very favorable to it. And I think we will have the support. It's going to take some work, but I think when this amendment actually gets introduced in appropriations, which should be before the end of this calendar year, or fiscal year rather, before the end of September, I think that we will have enough to get it into the Appropriations Committee, into the base text of the bill before that bill comes to the House floor. I'm pretty confident of that.
You know, Congressman, I don't want to be unfair to you, but this video just broke. We shared the audio in the last hour. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell back home in the district during a press conference and had another moment where he froze, this time for 30 seconds. His aides had to come to his side. I'm curious, as far as leadership in the Senate, do the Republicans have concerns there about the capabilities of Mr. McConnell?
Oh, I think that anytime you see someone getting up in age and you see the effects of old age, it's sad to see, but we all age, and eventually there will come a time when we'll not be able to operate like we used to. And I think that you've seen that with Mitch McConnell, and we hope for the best for him. But it's going to happen to everybody eventually, and some sooner than others.
Well, that's very well said. All right. Well, Congressman, good luck on your legislation. I like this idea, and I think this has to stop. I mean, this is outrageous. And when you look at even the timing now of the trial there in D.C., they're not even trying to hide the fact that any of this is political.
No, you're absolutely right. The American people are sick of all talk and no action. This, what we're seeing, is prosecutorial misconduct, in my opinion. It is clearly election interference, trying to take the primary, your primary opponent, and throw them in jail so they can't campaign. You know, they can't be a part of the election process. And we have to stop it. And this is action right here to stop it. It's the power of the purse. It's what Congress should be doing.
All right. Congressman Andrew Clyde, everybody, from Georgia's 9th Congressional District, also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, there you go. You got to admire Congressman Clyde for actually going out there and trying to do something and to block the funding of these prosecutions of President Trump. So, look, we're going to take a break. Tomorrow, President Trump on the program. Several of you have already called in. We want to know, do you have a question you would like to ask President Trump? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, it's, again, when you look at poor Mitch McConnell, and the guy, he's old, can't control what his body's going to do, and he's just, the poor guy's freezing up. The brain is not what it used to be, and the poor guy's just shutting down. And so the question, and based on what we now have seen, where Congress is basically a de facto taxpayer-funded nursing home, should we have some sort of an age limit? Should there be some sort of a competency test or some sort of a mental acuity test that all the senators have to take? Because, again, these guys and gals are making decisions that impact every single one of us. By the way, you see, we're sending tens of millions of more dollars in funding to Ukraine. The people of Maui are suffering and literally doing without. And yet Biden is sending even more money. And now this is a kick in the pants to all you folks down in Florida. But the FEMA budget is now being tied in with more funding for Ukraine. You can't make this stuff up. So if your lawmakers vote no, you're not going to get your money. You're not going to get any help rebuilding. I'm telling you, something is going on over in Ukraine. And you do wonder if they've got the goods on Joe. Maybe that's what it's all about. Oh, this story from Indian River, Florida, where a teacher, or rather a citizen, got up in front of the school board. And, you know, we talked about this lady from DeSoto County, Mississippi, whose, I said her daughter, I believe it was her niece, came home from school and had a pornographic assignment. And the mom said, no, we're not going down this way. And so the mom called the school, and the school took immediate action. Well, anyway, not so lucky in Indian River schools, where a citizen was reading from a book that was available to students in the school libraries, but the school board said, oh, you can't talk about that book. You can't read from this book because it's pornographic. But it's okay for kids to what? Cut number 7.
Now on the topic of these pornographic books that you keep calling these point of contact on as relates to whether they should be read or not. 13 Reasons Why by Jay Asher, currently in Storm Grove Middle School and Freshman Learning Center. Page 265. As if letting him me was going to cure all my problems.
Sir, I'll stop
but
you there.
In the end,
sir, I will
I never
stop you there.
Away.
And then and we
you
will didn't. Continue.
You stop rubbing circles on
I'm
my
going
stomach.
To stop you there,
instead,
please.
You rub
you
back and forth gently along my waist. Your pinky made its way under the
stop
top
it.
Of my
sir,
and rolled
stop
back
it.
And forth
you don't
from
stop.
Here to
I'll
here.
Ask you to leave. Thank you.
He doesn't need a microphone.
Yes, sir. I ask you to stop, and you're going to have to leave if you don't continue with that. Yes, sir. No, sir. I ask you to stop. I ask you to stop. Sir. If you don't, sir, I'm asking you to stop. If you don't do it, we're going to have you removed. Thank you. Please. I've asked you to stop. Yes, sir. I've asked you to stop. Sir, I'm asking you to stop. Yes. And when I stop, it's removed. And I've asked you to stop, so they were removed. Okay, sir. Mr. Teske, would you remove him, please? Three warnings. I've asked you, please, to remove. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you won't stop. You won't stop. I've asked you to stop.
Allow the world to see me removed for reading the pornographic book.
Okay, sir. I just said, I've stopped you from reading. It's going to be removed, so I'm going to ask you to go.
This is not right.
Well, it's not right that you're not listening.
Am I right?
Sir, he needs to be removed.
Out, a black pastor for reading these books.
Thank you.
Not good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, a few things. First of all, good for this father. Good for this citizen for standing up there and doing the right thing. Shame on the school board. I don't know who that old biddy is that was, sir. You know what? Lady, stifle. Shame on you. Quite frankly, that school board deserves to be in jail. Anybody connected with putting pornography in school libraries for children needs to go to jail. And here's how you enforce that. There are already laws on the books, actually, right? So if you go out there, let's just say that you go out on the street and you give a child, a random child, pornography on the street, guess what? They're going to arrest you. They're going to charge you with a sex crime, and you're going to go to jail. They ought to enforce that law in the public school rooms, all of the classrooms, school board meetings, the whole nine yards. And I'm going to tell you I will predict what's going to happen. When they start arresting the school board members for signing off on this crap, when they start arresting the school teachers, it's going to stop. And right now, the only reason they do this is because they know, by and large, they can get away with it. But clearly, people there in Indian River have said enough is enough. But they wouldn't let the guy finish. Just think about this. They want the children to read those books in the classroom, but they don't want the adults to read those books outside the classroom. That tells me there's something very evil, something very perverted going on inside the school classrooms in Indian River. I mean, it really is that simple. I mean, there's really no wiggle room here. It really is that simple. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. So we've had a bit of, I've got to play this audio. This is, I don't know why this cracks me up, but I'm on the Instagram, and I don't know why, but sometimes you get these suggested videos in your feed. And here lately, it's been South Park and Family Guy. I have no idea why. and Golden Girls. That's very strange. Anyway, this was a great clip. This actually happened on a TV sort of quiz show, sort of like a, what do you call them when you used to have the schools and they would go on public TV and they would debate each other, right? A quiz bowl is what they called it. Anyway, this is the British version of quiz bowl. Let's play cut number 10.
The nicknames cheesemongers, cherry pickers, Bob's own, the emperor's chambermaids, and the immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You're Miss Bright.
Homosexual?
No, they're regiments in the British Army. You'd be very upset for you, Miss.
No. Oh, wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. Wrong answer. Anyway, the British have a lot of fun, don't they? British TV is always much more entertaining than American television. Dylan, I'm curious. You're on the Instagram, but not nearly as much. I hardly ever see any photos or videos or anything in your feed.
I've been trying to take a break, Todd.
For the past 3 years?
This generation has gotten to me, at least. I'm trying to, rest my eyes from it a little bit.
You know, Colin posted, he just got engaged and put the photos and the future Mrs. Colin. It's very nice, but he knows how to do the Instagram.
This is true. That'll probably be the only thing that I post about if I do post again, Todd. So I guess just be on the lookout for that if you want to see me again.
Oh, is that like a clue?
Maybe. I'll throw that out there. I'm not ashamed.
The entire family is now, we're kind of been waiting.
It's okay. Everybody is kind of waiting.
TikTok.
So, I know.
All right. Let me know.
Not the app. TikTok, the clock.
All right. So I didn't know if you were teasing us or if this was like a clue that something may be coming.
Maybe a little both.
All right. So we'll start watching again. Wow. A lot of people getting married around here.
Yeah.
Must be something in the water. All right. Thank you, Dylan. So anyway, but the Family Guy stuff, it's really funny when you go back and watch the old Family Guy, the early days of Family Guy and South Park, you're wondering how in the world they allowed any of that to be on TV. It's just really funny stuff. It was before the woke people came along and ruined America. All right, coming up, we almost had fist fights at the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday. There is a big national story brewing there. We're going to tell you all about that coming up, including a couple of lawmakers who are radical activists, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones. And if you say anything about their behavior, they call you a racist or a white supremacist. So we're going to play a little bit of audio from what happened when there was almost a fist fight that broke out on the floor of the Senate. It's just unbelievable what's going on down there. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our number, 844-747-8868. Also, ToddStarnes.com. Can't forget about that. A lot happening there. We're going to tell you about our newsletter coming out and also the free podcast as well. Stick around, everybody. We've got more after this. All right, I was checking with the National Weather Service over Hurricane Idalia, and folks, again, they told us catastrophic, historic. This is on Breitbart. Biblical flooding. Are people loading up animals onto arks right now? Is that really happening in Florida? I mean, if it is, we certainly want to report that information. So, Dylan, let us know if you see reports of, people in robes loading animals 2x2 onto yachts. Please let us know that. But here's what I find is interesting. It's a Category 1 storm, which is basically, that's the lowest you can go, right? So 75-mile-an-hour winds, and then you've got tropical, it drops down to tropical storm status. And they're making this out. They're saying it's the worst is yet to come. Well, no, the worst was when it was a Category 4 storm, and then it dropped down to a Category 3. So the worst is not to come. The worst has already happened. But it turns out that the worst was not as bad as they predicted. and they're still trying to make it out to be like, oh, you know, we're, it's really about, yeah, we know the sun is shining and the waters are receding, but oh, it's going to get really bad out there. Meanwhile, they say hundreds of thousands are without power. And yes, that is to be expected. I mean, it's a terrible thing, right? It's a horrible storm. People are going to, some people may lose their homes or their businesses or will be flooding. But again, this idea that this was the storm of all storms, where did they get that? And why do they keep doing that? Well, I told you why early on. It's because they want to advance this notion, oh, there's climate change. The storms are getting worse. They're wiping entire states off the face of the planet. Well, no, that's really not happening. They say conditions are expected to deteriorate in Florida. No, that is not true. As the storm moves on, guess what happens? The waters begin to recede. I'm just saying, this is where we're at. All right, welcome back to the show. This is, it's a bee in my bonnet. It really is just a bee in my bonnet. Tucker Carlson fears we are speeding towards a dangerous point in American history. This is from Breitbart. Nick Gilbertson is the writer. Tucker Carlson is worried that former President Donald Trump could be the target of an assassination since his popularity rose after each indictment. Carlson was on the Adam Carolla show Monday night. Carolla asked him if the powers that be would let Trump be president. And Tucker said, "We're speeding towards assassination, obviously. They have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have it." Do you believe that? Are you one of those? Do you believe, along with Tucker, because Tucker certainly believes this, that somebody's going to try and take out Donald Trump? Tucker goes on, says, look, they protested him. They called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on J6 in order to impeach him again. Didn't work. Came back. Then they indicted him. Didn't work. He became more popular. They indicted him three more times, and every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to the protest, then you go to the impeachment, now you go to the indictment, none of them work. What's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously. Is that true? Are we really speeding? Do you believe that Trump could be at risk to be taken out by one of these Democrat lunatics or a Hollywood person? Yeah, well, the reason why I said Hollywood, Dylan, is because they're very unstable people. And it was a Hollywood person, a Hollywood actor. Well, we didn't have Hollywood back then, but he was an actor of star of stage, was William John Wilkes Booth, assassinated Abraham Lincoln. He was an actor. I'm just saying, got to watch out for this stuff. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike in Chattanooga wants to weigh in on the hurricane. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
God, you're so right on the weather. I lived in Florida for years. Lived through Katrina, which, by the way, hit the coast worse than this hurricane and other hurricanes. Here's the problem with Florida. A lot of them are a bunch of leftists. And my first notice is I look up. I look for antennas and towers, and the first thing I notice is they don't clear cut their trees. You could drive down the street and you see the branches going in. And I asked them, I said, why aren't you guys, this is in 2000, why aren't you clear cutting your trees? Well, environmental, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, up north, and that's the worst thing you want to say to the southern. Because they go, well, then you need to go back up north. I said, I'm telling you, the second you get a 60-mile-an-hour wind, we're going to lose power. And the first hurricane that came through before Katrina, we lost power for 2 days because these lunatics do not know how to manage the land. Same thing when Katrina went through. If you're Cedar Key got hit. I used to fly in and out of there with my little plane. They're right at sea level. If you live on the coast, you're going to get hit. And what it is, Todd, is the surge, the water surge. And, of course, the wind. But they always make it worse than it is. Let me tell you what I mean when I say that. The world's coming to an end. No, it's not. If you're in California, you're going to get earthquakes. It's not climate change. It's the sunspot cycle every 11 years. I was actually in Crystal River one time, Florida, with the Weather Service reporting like it was the end of the world and there was maybe 6 inches of water. Don't ever believe these guys. I'm sorry.
Well, Mike, go back to Katrina. And a lot of people, that if you didn't study what happened, and you had to do a lot of reading to understand what happened with Katrina, it was a Category 5 storm, but it took a direct hit on Mississippi and Alabama. And nobody, it completely leveled places like Gulfport and Biloxi. I mean, just unimaginable devastation. And it got all but ignored by the mainstream media because they were all focused on New Orleans. So New Orleans right. got hit by Category 1, maybe Category 2 winds. The hurricane did not do the damage. It was that storm surge that took out the levees that led to the flooding. And the flooding is what caused all the deaths, in, or at least an overwhelming majority of the deaths in New Orleans. So people don't want to, you know, they don't want to do the deep dive to understand what really happened there. So, but again, that storm took a direct hit and took out Mississippi and Alabama. New Orleans, that was a whole different story.
Right. Non-Floridians, you have to understand, hurricanes don't like low water. They like deep water. Well, the Gulf is very low water. You go out a mile and you drop a foot. So that's the reason why you don't hear the West Coast getting hit a lot in Florida, because it likes deep water. But in this case, Katrina went, like you said, right up and just smacked right into them full force. And that's why typically they go to the Atlantic. But in that, it's the infrastructure we're having problems
That's
with.
It.
When I went and covered this after not only Katrina but other hurricanes, police were crying. But Arcadia, there was a hurricane hit. It leveled Arcadia. There was no help from the Red Cross, no help from the government for 2 days. They didn't even have drinking water. But yet they can send money overseas. These bureaucrats are inept. They are totally inept. They were inept in Hawaii. They're inept in Florida. They're inept. And FEMA is worthless. It should be abolished before Homeland Security. It is a worthless agency. It does nothing. And the Red Cross does nothing but charge our troops for coffee when they know they're about to board a ship and die. The Salvation Army, to me, is only the only worthy organization.
Well, I love Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's group, Samaritan's Purse. They do incredible work. And they go into these disaster zones with volunteers, and they just they do incredible, great work. And you know, when you donate to a group like that, you know where your money's going to. But I'm with you with the Red Cross. You know, it is what it is. Mike, good to hear from you as always. And we love all of our great listeners there on Nuga Radio.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day, buddy.
All right, you too now. Good man out there. And man, are they fighting. Look, they got a lot of leftists moving into eastern Tennessee. I'm telling you, the liberals love the mountains. And it's a beautiful area. We just got to protect it from the liberals. They got to stop bringing their politics down here. All right, 844-747-8868. You heard Congressman Andrew Clyde a little while ago talking about President Trump indicted again, fourth time. Newsmax is conducting a national poll, and they would like your opinion. They want to know about President Trump. Do you still support the president? Are you going to vote for the president? You can vote now in the Newsmax poll by texting the word skip to 39747. That's skip to 39747. It takes a minute to let your voice be heard. Text skip to 39747. Now, Newsmax is going to share the results of the poll with Congress, and you'll also hear about it on Newsmax, which happens to be America's fastest growing cable news channel. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. If your system does not have Newsmax, just call and say, I want Newsmax. Millions are making the switch right now, and you should too. Vote now. Text skip to 39747. All right, Dylan, I know you're a big football guy. You like college football. And I'm a big Tennessee Volunteer fan. We're going to have a good season, I do believe.
I think you will too. They had a great season last year, and I know a lot of people are probably have high hopes for this season too.
Are you a you're Mississippi State or Ole Miss?
Well, yeah, both my parents went to Ole Miss, and I kind of betrayed them by going to the University of Memphis. So I'm kind of like in the middle. I don't really care for either of those rivalries. I guess I would lean more towards Ole Miss, though.
Mm. University of Oklahoma quarterback. He's got an interesting name.
I'm curious.
General Booty.
That his first name is General?
His first name is General, last name Booty. B-O-O-T-Y, Booty. Anyway, he is partnering now, you know, with the NILs. You know, you can make endorsement deals. And he's got one heck of an endorsement deal. General Booty, who is the Oklahoma quarterback, is partnering with an underwear company.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the most perfect, like, deal ever. I would have guessed diapers, but underwear is a good second.
He is he's partnering with an underwear company called, or it's a sock maker called Rock'em Socks, and they're launching an underwear collection. And he made the big announcement on Instagram in University of Oklahoma style. He's wearing a cowboy hat and not much else. He's riding a horse wearing his boxer briefs and cowboy boots.
Wow. And
yeah. He says, I'll keep this brief. Oh, I get it. Booty times Rock'em boxer briefs available now. Oh, and the word booty is emblazoned on the back of the boxers.
Oh, of course.
Of course, they have to be.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good for that guy.
Yeah. You know what? May as well take advantage. Yeah,
might as well. Your parents gave it to you. Now you're taking advantage of it.
You know, it's got to be tough growing up with a name like that, right? Booty.
General Booty makes it General worse. Booty. You're like the captain of booties.
So hold on. This is great. So the Oklahoman actually did a Q&A about it. He's 6'2", weighs 190 pounds, and Booty is from Allen, Texas, but his people are from Shreveport, Louisiana, which is apparently the home of the famous Booty family. And I didn't realize booties were famous. But apparently the booties are big in Shreveport.
Big booties in Shreveport.
Big booties, yeah. His dad, Abram Booty, was an LSU wide receiver back in the day, and he had a lifelong obsession with the military, which is why he told the wife, Mrs. Booty, hey, look, we're going to name the firstborn son General. So that's what happened. And his middle name is very interesting, General Axel Booty. Axel.
It just keeps getting better.
It keeps getting better. You know what? We ought to get this guy on the phone for an interview. Can we get Booty to call? Not a booty call. We don't want a booty call.
A booty call.
No, we don't want to have a booty call. So there you go. Well, good for you, sir. So anyway, he's doing well. Looks like he's having a good time. These NILs are going to kill college football. I just don't see how the sponsors and the boosters are going to be able to keep it up. That's been a big problem right now at the University of Memphis, by the way. Having a hard time with that. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jerry in Arkansas. Jerry, you gonna watch General Booty play football this fall?
I don't know, but I will say Woo Pig Suey.
Oh, you're a – well, there you go. All right. Go. Is it Woo Pig Suey?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right.
You should know that. You're just on the other side of the river.
I know, but, you know, it's. You know, I may as well be in another country. You know how it is, Jerry. We're SEC. Yeah. You know, SEC football, we're all enemies until the playoffs when we're all friends again.
Well, we're not all enemies necessarily. I'm for the Razorbacks and whoever's playing Alabama.
Oh, well, yeah. So the enemy of my enemy, yes.
There you go.
What's going on, Jerry?
If somebody walks up to you with a baseball bat and they start wailing on you, and you have a second baseball bat just sitting in there within arm's reach, do you stand there and say, I'm not stooping to his level, I'm better than that?
Yeah, I'm picking up the baseball bat.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's where we are. That is where we are. You know, I was all for we're not stupid to their level. We're better than that. Even when Trump decided he wasn't going to lock her up. But we have got to the point. We are going to be a bloody pulp. If we can't get rid of these wishy-washy spunk, the Mitch McConnells, the Lindsey Grahams, the McCarthys, and especially the entire Arkansas delegation. Haven't heard a word from them in 3 weeks about the persecution of Trump. They're not defending Trump. They're not talking about defunding the DOJ. They're not talking about impeachment. They're not talking about defunding the FBI. Go on French Hill's Facebook page and you say, hey, I enjoyed spending time with the veterans group yesterday. Ooh, I enjoyed visiting my high school alma mater last week. And that's all it is, Todd. That's all it is. I want to encourage people, like I'm doing at least once a week, call your state Republican Party headquarters, whatever, and tell them they need to actively start recruiting America First Freedom Caucus top candidates to primary some of these bums. And that's just the way it's got to be.
Jerry,
I want to see every one of them on TV two or three times a week raising Cain, just like, well, Tom Cotton used to do, but boy, he's a ghost ever since he pushed through that spending bill instead of sending it back to the House.
Yeah.
He's a bigger ghost than Stacey Abrams. Boy, didn't she drop off the face of the earth in the last 6 weeks.
Jerry, we got to leave it there. We're coming up on the end of the show, but what a powerful way to wrap things up. I think you spoke a lot of truth to the culture right now, and you're right. I don't know what's going on with the Republicans over in Arkansas these days, but that's a conversation for another day, and we will continue to fight right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Jerry, God bless you, sir. And folks, God bless you. You be good, America.
You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.